Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
The Luke and Pete Show. It's Thursday, the 4th of November, and my name is Pete Donaldson. I'm joined once again by Lukey Moore. Luke, we ended the show, I'm going to say poorly, last time out. Have we got from this week?
The great thing is we've lowered expectations. People love this show because they just think it's like listening to two idiots.
And yeah.
When they say that, it kind of... To the uninitiated, it feels like, oh, you know what? But it takes a lot of hard work to sound that cash.
Yeah.
On the show. But it doesn't really.
Doesn't, no.
I mean,
no.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. There's no kind of hidden depth. It's not like an iceberg show.
No.
Where, oh, yeah, but the top bit, like the top 10%, they just seem like idiots. But actually, there's 90% of stuff going on and they work really hard all week at it. Nah.
No, when I was putting the emails together for this for Monday's show and this show, I was eating my third slice of pizza at 9 a.m. On a Monday. That's not great, is it? If I'm getting grease all over my laptop and selecting suitable emails about sons of oppressive regimes, tools.
We have actually got an email from Idi Amin's grandson coming up later.
Stop this!
Why are you still doing the Monday morning breakfast is whatever fast food's left over from the weekend regime now that you're living in domestic and suburban bliss? Surely you should have moved beyond that.
Well, no, because the difference between myself and my partner is she's more than happy to throw food in the bin. Me, I had loads of Pringles left over from the Halloween party, put them
not
on the chicken for the roast.
You can't eat them with the Edward Scissorhands on.
That's why I had so many.
That's why you had pizza.
It was just crumbs all over the floor. I put it all over the chicken and she said it was okay. And I quote, okay, and that's good for me. That is a good rating for my terrible cooking, I tell you what.
But did you slice the pizza with your scissor hands?
I didn't slice the pizza with my scissor hands. I didn't even, what I usually do is make like a French toast where I cover the pizza slices in egg and fry them. And that's always a real treat. Put syrup and stuff on them. Oh, beautiful. Didn't have any syrup though, so just ate them straight. I mean, it is repeating on me, I must admit. It is repeating on me.
Speaking of Edward Scissorhands and Johnny Depp, who, by the way, I mean, I don't want to fall down the trap of commenting on other people's appearance too much, because I think that's quite low, particularly given that you and I are broken shells of men.
Yeah.
But Johnny Depp does look odd now.
What do you mean? He just looks odd now.
He just looks odd.
Well, he's a man in his 50s, presumably, or certainly cracking on there. But he's.
But you know what? You're right, and that's fair enough. But look at me, right? I'm 41. My story has been a story of gradual decline.
Yes.
So people don't really notice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With him, he's put it off and put it off and put it off. And now he's kind of ripped the aesthetic plaster of his life off. And what's underneath is poor.
Well, do you not think it's just his sort of gimmick has been fresh-faced up until about 29, and then he went... I'm a dirty old rocker. Now he's like, no one in the like last 10 years of his, well, the last 15 years of his life went, don't do that. You look like a dirty old rocker. You look like a plaster.
Imagine he did that at his aftershave advert. It just cut from the desert to him looking in the camera. I'm a dirty old rocker.
I'm a right dirty old rocker.
You
mate.
Want to smell like me? Anyway.
What's that smell? It's me. Smell like me.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Oh, listen to my feet sticking to the floor. Anyway, speaking of Johnny Depp and Edward Scissorhands, did you see, you know Brian Cox, you know who plays Fuck Off
yes,
in Succession?
Yeah, Yeah.
He's got a book out, and it's always, listen, it's never usually interesting when someone famous has a book out. We know that.
Especially the ones when that they are put interesting, the books out, especially when they put the books out around about the time there's a second series of a popular TV show that they're in. I always think cash
third
grab.
Third series. And the lead up to Christmas.
Yes,
so, yeah,
indeed.
Absolutely right. But it is of note when, it's, I mean, I don't know what the age cutoff probably is, but I'm going to say 70. When someone famous gets to about 70, they stop giving a shit about anyone else. Because they think, I've made my dough. I'm fine now. It doesn't really matter if I never work again. Whatever.
Yeah.
And they become really honest, right? And
right.
Brian Cox, a.k.a. Logan Roy in Succession, he's done loads of other stuff as well. Look it up. He's written a really scathing book about his life and the people he encountered in Hollywood. And he has shared some... lots of websites, have shared some amazing quotes from that book.
Right.
And it will sell really well just because he's just frank and honest about everyone. And on Johnny Depp, he says the following. Personable though I'm sure Johnny Depp is, he is so overblown and so overrated. I mean, Edward Scissorhands, let's face it, if you come on to screen with hands like that and a pale, scarred face makeup, you don't really have to do anything. And he didn't. And subsequently, he's done even less.
I mean, to be fair, Edward Scissorhands is very much... It was like
Johnny Scissorhands.
Johnny Silverhands. He was in that was the other one. The other bloke who looks a bit like him in the video game Cyberpunk. Johnny Silverhands. Scissorhands. That was his breakout role, wasn't it? Pretty much after like Benny and June and stuff like that. It wasn't that was the start of his career. Like he would have got better in 20 years, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose he's been in good films. I mean, he's been in like Donnie Brasco, and he's obviously a capable actor. I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah.
It's just funny that Brian Cox doesn't like him. And I also like that he turned up to, I think it was the premiere of the third season of Succession with a mask that did actually say "fuck off" on it.
Lovely, lovely stuff. And with him, though, I just think that I'm I watch Succession. You know, the first two seasons, I've not picked back up because Sarah's not seen it, so I don't really watch a lot of stuff without her. But I'm almost sort of in a situation where I don't think he's had any career, Brian Cox, and people are just telling me that he's this legendary actor. I can't remember seeing him in anything before Succession. I think someone's playing a trick on me.
I know. Do you know what? It's funny you say it. I don't agree with you because what you're basically saying is, well, I haven't seen him in anything, so he can't have done anything.
Correct.
Which is a solipsistic way of looking at it, to say the least. But, I mean, whether we like it or not, I mean, he has consistently been acting at the very top level since 1971, according to his IMDb page. So he's done a bit,
right?
You know, and he's got a whole Wikipedia page just about his awards. So we have done some stuff,
but
mate.
Why is he though? Why is he not everywhere? He was in that film where it was like not Agatha Christie, it was like Cluedo, wasn't it? There was that film that was about Cluedo, and that was after Succession series 2. What's his big kind of roles? What was his big kind of characters? I suppose
he's in the Bourne films, isn't he?
Exactly. I mean, the fact that you're even saying he's in the Bourne films, isn't he? What did he do before Blumming Succession? That everyone's saying that he's
this
epic actor.
Why are you casting me as the guy who should be the expert on this?
You're telling me that I've got a myopic kind of image of the actor because I've never seen him in anything. But I have never seen him in anything.
Yeah, it's like me saying, oh, I don't really listen to much music, so what's Mick Jagger done? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but he's not a Mick Jagger level. He's not as notorious as Mick Jagger, is he? You're talking about...
What level is he?
The man he is... he is the drummer from the Arctic Monkeys. He's that kind of level. I'm like, oh, well, I've never seen him in anything. I've never seen him in anything else. So why is everyone telling me that he's this legendary actor? I've never seen him in anything else.
Who else is? Do you know what? That's weird that happened because I know what you mean. There's an actor who plays the Roy kid's mum in Succession. She's brilliant. You've
right.
definitely seen her.
Yeah.
She's like very acerbic and very kind of like cutting and like a proper, like really like steal the scene kind of character. And I had never seen the actor who played her in anything before. And I literally picked up a newspaper about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was a Sunday paper. And she was on the front cover of the Sunday paper magazine, and it was legendary actor this, and she's a dame. And I'd never heard of her either. The lesson here is there's a lot of actors, mate.
There's a lot of actors, and I can't keep them all in my
films
head.
Films are getting made all the time.
I very much like the relationship, the slightly sexual, flirty relationship that the Culkin boy and his. The business partner, or like the CFO or something, the woman, who,
yeah, Jerry, like, and Roman, yeah.
I find that a very satisfying relationship. I think they should get
Why?
Together. I don't know. I just find it's one of those relationships that isn't really depicted that often. Little shitty,
I know what you mean.
Shitty bratty man and an older lady.
Roman is like you with confidence, right?
He's like me with money. One begats the other, I think.
true. No, not you mean. It's a great show. I'm looking forward to it. We're about two or three episodes into the new season now. Very good. Picked up right left
off. Is it just kind of like week by week, or can you watch the whole thing if you want?
No, it's just week by week.
Oh,
it comes
right,
out every Monday night.
Oh,
I think it comes
out
on Sunday
in
the US
time.
on HBO. Mm. Pete, can I just change the subject ever so slightly?
If you want.
Because something I saw earlier this week perturbed me somewhat.
Right.
And that was that... We have, I mean, really, you would say, I think, Pete, even you would agree, we have been at the vanguard of ambergris podcasting, haven't we?
Yeah. There's not a month goes by that I don't talk about my fantasies about finding a lump of ambergris on the beach, even though ambergris, as in its modern form, is very much... absolute wrong, and they'll kill whales to get the ambergris out. I still have this kind of very romantic...
You're a purist.
...kind of 1950s idea that I would be walking down a beach and just find a big lump of, you know, $2 million ambergris.
Yeah. So for those who perhaps aren't quite as into ambergris as you, i.e. our listeners, I'm just going to give them a quick reminder. It's like a waxy rock type substance. It's only produced in the intestinal tract of about one in every 100 sperm whales.
Yeah.
And when it expels, when it's kind of secreted into the sea by the whale, it becomes fragrant. It washes up on beaches. And it's really valuable for things like the perfume trade and the aftershave trade in the world. Mm. It costs a lot of money per gram. It's one of the most valuable things in the world because it can't be faked. It can't be produced artificially. Anyway, we talked about it loads of times before. I was always under the impression, Pete, because you are the in-situ designated ambergris expert, that it was actually almost vomited up by whales, right?
Mm, right.
Now, I saw a story... earlier this week in Vice that kept calling it the feces of a whale, and that it was whales basically, for want of a better term, shat it out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where to go with this now. I don't know where I stand.
Well, I don't think they should be calling it whale poop, as the Vice article describes it. It's not, I mean, it's not poop. It's literally just... it's in the intestinal tract, apparently. That's how it's made. And it's expelled by the animal at the sea. I mean, I guess the only way that can be expelled is through one hole and one hole alone, the bum-bum. So, presumably, I guess, does that technically mean that it's poop? If something comes out your bum, is it poop? The stuff you haven't put up there yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep, deep question. and apparently, although I said what I said earlier about the fact that it can't be replaced... synthetically, apparently, is starting to be synthetically replaced now with this material called ambroxide. But anyway, I don't know. Is it poop? Is it vomit? Let's put it to a poll. Maybe we'll put it on the Twitter poll. Whatever. I was also going to say to you though, over and above that, apparently, and we haven't mentioned this before, that dogs are amazing at sniffing it out. And you live right by the beach and you've got access to two dogs.
Oh,
so I don't
God.
Know what you're wasting your time with in the studio right now when you could be out there.
I should join the thousands of people doing metal detecting. But like the thing with the part of Essex that I live on, it's kind of like the water goes out, the water goes in. But when the water goes out, it's just miles of mud. And like, I don't know where I'd start, to be honest, trying to find some blooming ambergris and all that nonsense.
Yeah, true, and tide can come in quick in certain parts of the UK, so you've got to be very careful, mate.
Want to get stranded. Do not want to get stranded.
Can I also talk to you about a very classy crime that happened? I'm not endorsing this crime, but it took my interest, and it strikes me as a more interesting crime than your average. Mm. It's about I'm just going to tell you the story. So essentially, a quite well-to-do couple checked into a hotel and restaurant in southwest Spain, okay, in the city of Cáceres, and they, to all intents and purposes, just looked like a quite affluent couple. Spoke English, spoke Spanish, and they checked into their hotel. There's two Michelin star restaurant on the side of the hotel. It's called the complex is called Atria. I think it's quite famous. Mm. And what they did is they checked into the hotel. They went to the restaurant to eat, and they asked after they'd eaten, they asked the hotel front desk employee to serve them more food because it was quite late. And then when that employee went to the kitchen, they legged it into the cellar and stole a load of bottles of wine and then disappeared. Among that amount of wine they stole was a bottle of wine from 1806 called the Chateau de Quim, which is worth £295,000 and is so famous that it's very unlikely they're going to be able to sell it. It's a unique bottle of wine. It's numbered. It's controlled. The people within the industry would know instantly if they saw it. And it's been suggested that what's actually happened is they're going to pass it on to a rival crime gang as a payment of a debt or in exchange for something else. Mm. And it's going to be passed around because it's impossible to sell it. That is the plot of a film right there. That right there is the plot of a movie.
How many bottles of
wine? I like to think, though,
yeah,
that all they did, they went back to their room for a bit, cracked it open, some of the cork fell in the bottle, they drank it anyway out the bottle, and then they just legged it.
They opened it with a shoe on a wall. They they had some Scottish what do you call them? Those biscuits you get at, next to the kettle in a rundown hotel.
Borders.
Say again? Borders?
No, Borders biscuits are good. What's you just Borders? Mean shortbread, right?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of that Scottish shortbread stuff is really sort of fatty and greasy.
Do you really... when I stayed at... I stayed up at Longclume a few months ago, or a month or so ago, as a special occasion thing with the Wi-Fi I have access to, and they had homemade from the kitchen biscuits in the hotel room.
Whoa.
That is top quality. I mean, sometimes they're literally just fruit shortcakes from McVitie's, aren't they?
Yeah, sometimes they are. Sometimes, the only crisps you ever get are like a quarter pipe of Pringles or maybe a big bag of like kettle chips, and I find them quite difficult to eat. They're too crispy, they fracture too easily. They've got a horrible mouthfeel to them. I don't know why they're called premium biscuits, and I don't know why I'm told. Once again, it's that Cox thing. Like, people just tell me that this is the height of luxury, even though it's actually quite horrible to eat.
Funny because I did a little test. I mean, I come on to crisps in hotel rooms in a minute. People will be delighted to hear. Mm. But my old man came to stay a while last weekend. And he asked if I had any crisps. And he'd be a Walker's man, right? He'd be whatever my mum gets from the supermarket, right?
I mean, very much enjoying the image of your dad coming down the stairs going, "You got any crisps, son?"
Well, I mean, you can enjoy that image because that's exactly what happened.
I love it.
The Wi-Fi I have access to comes from a different culture, crisp-wise, from us.
Yeah.
And she found these crisps she likes called Torres crisps, available on Amazon Fresh. They're expensive. Mm. Even though she's lived in the country for 5 years, she still doesn't really work out the exchange rate properly. So she just buys them anyway. Anyway, they're really expensive crisps. They're nice.
Maybe they come you in bought too like many crisps.
There's no such thing.
You're ruining this
many.
House with your crisps. I can't afford a nibble for red.
You're improving this house with your crisps. Anyway, they come in flavours like black truffle and come on and all that kind of stuff. I've talked about them before. Yeah. Anyway. They've got a ready salted selection.
Like father, like son.
Yeah, they don't call them ready salted, they just call them olive oil because they're pretentious.
Right.
Now, what I did is I said to my old man, "Do you want some crisps? What flavour do you want? I've got these flavours." And he said, "I'll have ready salted." I put some of the Torres olive oils into the bowl. Mm. I gave them to him, and I thought he was going to say, "Well, these aren't very nice because they're so different to what he's normally used to." He was raving about them.
Yeah.
Absolutely raving about them. So what I'm saying is sometimes the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yeah.
Right? But do you remember this? When we were on tour with the Ramble, we stayed at those hotels. What were they called? The chain of hotels we had to stay at?
They were like business hotels, but they were nice business hotels. We had one in Newcastle, Sheffield, places like that, yeah.
Do you remember the big tins of Yorkshire crisps they had in every single room?
That rings a bell, yeah.
And it's a weird situation because normally everything in a hotel room when it comes to food or drink is miniature and it's never satisfying.
Yeah.
These crisps were so big that you couldn't finish them in one sitting.
Too many.
And that's me saying
too
it.
Too many crisps in a hotel room with Lukey Moore. Just too
anyway,
many crisps.
We should probably have a break. We haven't had a break.
Oh, yeah. Let's show, yeah. You're going to have no room for blubbing emails. No room for
have
afters.
Have a break. We'll squeeze an email in when we come back.
We've had too many crisps.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Abroad in Japan is the Stack podcast that brings you a taste of life in Japan. Recently, Chris Broad was joined by NHK contributor and legendary video game streamer Pete for a chat about his life as a TEFL teacher.
I one time taught a woman who was still pregnant, and I had to teach her stomach.
What?
Yes, and so...
Wait, what?
She came in, 7 months pregnant, and they're like, no, she wants you to just to talk to her stomach. So I was sitting there giving instruction, very specifically.
No.
She held her tummy, and she said, I think he's getting it. And I thought, oh dear God.
Just bizarre. Search Abroad in Japan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Wednesday and Sunday.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show, and it's a Thursday, so that means one thing and one thing alone. Battery brands. Luke, we've got some gorgeous ones coming in. Kicking off with Kent. Do you want to read Kent's message?
This Kent Wagenschutz.
Wagenschutz. Lovely.
I think his dad might have been in the Stasi.
Don't say that. He wasn't.
He doesn't mind. It's a joke. It's a joke.
That was last week's
show. I'm sure this is some real basic bitch stuff, but when my kitchen scale died, I discovered this, a Daily Max CR2032 posted inside, and I thought I'd send it along for consideration. It's a watch battery, though. Are we allowed these?
Yeah.
I don't think we do watch batteries, do we?
So that's what I wrote afterwards. It's a watch battery. Are we? I'm asking you, basically, to adjudicate. Oh. I don't think we should allow little lithium-ion watch batteries that keep clocks ticking over here and there. I'm not sure we should allow that, to be honest.
I know the CR2032 very well because it's what stops me shopping in the Co-op and moving to the Sainsbury's local, because they sell them in there, and I was sent to the shop for one because the Wi-Fi I have access to was baking and the battery had run out on the scale. So I know the CR2032 very well.
Classic scales battery.
I don't think it's relevant for this.
Okay,
so thanks anyway, Kent.
Excellent
Kent. Name. All the best to your dad. But no.
No.
You're up next, Pete. You call it out next and I'll search for it.
All right, cool. Glenn from Stratford. He's attached a short video clip of the Vinnie Superior battery I've removed from my son's Flappy the Elephant. It had run out of battery. I'm not a complete monster. He's also included a GP Extra Heavy Duty for his flashing drum kit. Listen, Glenn, you're not going to get anywhere with your GP Extra Heavy Duty. I'm almost certain, though, that we may have had a Vinnie Superior before. To be quite frank.
Yeah, I'm just checking now.
Are you putting it in inverted commas or quotation marks? That's how you really test the metal, so to speak.
Of the search. Yeah, I'll do it in speech marks. That's how you're supposed to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, good boy.
And this is Glenn, yeah?
Good boy.
Glenn.
This is Glenn.
This is the first Vinnie Superior we've had. We've had other Vinnies, but we've not had a Vinnie Superior.
Oh, fantastic. Glenn from Stratford, we've definitely never had a Vinnie Superior. Thank you. You have got a new player entering the game there. Smashing stuff.
Here we go then. So, well done to you, Glenn. And the final one's from Evan, who says, I've recently returned to Canada following 6 years living in the UK. My first 2 weeks back, I've come across more potential new players than I have in the last 2 years in the UK. So get ready. So actually, no, do you know what? You don't need to get ready, because I think that one of these three is definitely not a new player. So he's got the following. A Ruido. Ruido's definitely not a new player.
Ruido.
We've definitely had them.
I think it's a Phil Collins song.
What about this, though? A Jiawei Solar. So type that in. Jiawei Solar. That could be a new player.
Yeah, Jiawei Solar. I think that is a new player, you know. Hang fire. Let me just fill for 10
Check
seconds.
It out, because the other one he's submitted is an Easy Picks rechargeable, which off the top of my head, I don't remember. But I'm fairly certain that first one could be new.
I can't help but think that the that whole... what are we looking at here? Yeah, I
Why
think
Why are you
that,
so slow to use the internet these days?
Because I closed the screen down. I'd done all the emails and then didn't think I needed to open it again. So it asked me to... Passwords have been getting just more difficult to administer here and there.
Oh, I'm getting younger.
I do believe that Evan, recently back from Canada, that is indeed... A brand new Canadian player. Evan, you've got a Jiawei Solar. That's a new one. Ruido. Let's have a look here.
Ruido's not a new player.
Not a new player. We've had that several times. Easy Picks rechargeable. Now, I'm almost certain that that is an Easy Picks camera. I think it might be a Canon or possibly a Sony. And they've rebadged it, you fool. But he's not a fool. It is a brand new Canadian new player. Easy Picks rechargeable. Whoa. Congratulations, Evan. I would very much like you to peel the label off the Easy Picks to see if it's a rebranded version of another battery, though. But cracking stuff, Evan. That's 2 out of 3. What? Not bad.
So we put an asterisk over the second one of those, are we?
No, put it in. Look, there's no pictures on the score sheet, Luke. I just would like to know where that battery came from. Just for my own peace of mind. For my own files, to be quite frank.
2 out of 3 is very good. What he should have done is he should have staggered those over different weeks and he would look like a real consistent performer. But he's gone for the hat trick off the top of his head and he's got 2 out of 3, so it's not too bad.
Strong.
Keep those coming in. We get loads these days. Producer Rory was like, I don't really know which ones to choose. There's like 15 of them this week. Just choose the ones you want, baby.
You'd think we'd run out at some point.
Those three were the ones selected. And we've got three new players. Great stuff. It's indeed. Just great stuff. It's riveting audio.
Riveting content. Nobody else does this. We're going to round things off with a quick email, if that's all right with you. And it's a doozy. And I've entitled it, Bodied by a Bad Dad. It's Carl. Okay. He says, hi, Luke and Pete. You talking about dads chasing kids reminded me of an incident about 35 years ago. Me, 11 years old, and my mate Andre ran across the road, causing a car to have a brake a bit and bib his horn. My mate stuck his fingers up at him. The car stopped and my mate ran off. And I stood there as I did nothing wrong. The bloke got out of the car and gave me a dig in the stomach, causing me to double over without saying a word.
Man, it's great. It's the 80s. It's
just
brilliant.
Punching an 11-year-old kid in the guts. He then got back in his car. I ran up to his car and kicked and smashed a set of his back lights, then ran off. He tried to chase me, but I lost him through the alleyways. Keep up the good work, Carl. Carl, I'm sorry as an 11-year-old you got assaulted by a grown man, but I'm glad you managed to take his brake light off, because that would have taken him a little while and probably a whole heap of money to fix.
Yeah, and I think he deserved it. Just the very idea in 2021, so obviously I'm a few years older than 30.
Yeah.
I don't know how old the guy was. So I think I was about our age. The idea, like, you get so angry with a kid, you run over there, presumably in broad daylight, and punch him in the stomach. It's kind of unthinkable now, right? And rightly so. But there's something quite pleasingly innocent about this whole story.
Yeah.
You know, it's tit for tat. That's it. It's done. There's no comebacks. It's not a story that goes on for generations.
Don't have a chat about it. Don't need to, like, talk it out and talk about our feelings. A swear word has been administered, a bib and a beating. That's all you get. That's all you need. Terrible
but you know
stuff.
What, Carl? I want to speak to you directly. I'd love to know, Carl, where you grew up, because the way you've described this story and losing someone through the alleyways, which is exactly what used to happen where I used to grow up, where I used to live, because there's loads of alleyways. Our neighbourhood was alleyway, street, alleyway, street, yeah. Alleyway, street, with lots of crossover alleyways and streets as well. Carl, if you grew up in Gosport, I want to know about it, because that's exactly the kind of thing that used to happen in the 80s in Gosport, from what I remember. So great stuff. A lot of nostalgic feels listening to that story. I hope your stomach recovered over time.
Yeah.
I presume there's no long-term damage and you're obviously still of able body and mind and be able to email us in today. So great stuff. All in all, fantastic stuff. Would like to hear more.
Yeah, very much enjoyed that one. But if you would like to get to the show, if you've been hit by someone, let us know. hello@lukeandpeter.com. I remember sort of going out of... I was going from class to class. I was a little bit late, not like me, after like maths, going to geography or whatever, when I was about 12. And I was walking through my school, like the front of my school, like, you know, inside the gates, right close to the building. And it was a bloke. He must have been about 18. Like, you know, it was a fully grown man.
Yeah.
He kicked me right on the arse. Like, I was just walking to get to my class.
That's not painful, though, is it?
No, but he kicked me right on the arse, and I looked at him, and then he did it again. And I was just like, I was looking at him going, what is this about? What have I done to deserve a kick up the bum by an actual grown adult? What's going on here? And I never found out. It was just some random weirdo kicking 11-year-old kids, 12-year-old kids up the arse. What's that
you
about?
You told me
Luke?
The story before, and I kind of felt like it would be an episode of Heavyweight or Gimlet's Reply All or something.
Yeah. Why?
So I went to find the ass kicker. I'm Pete Donaldson, and this is Heavyweight, episode 8.
Very odd. If you've ever been, you know... I mean,
to hear about imbalanced fights.
Yes, imbalanced fights. Fight. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be actual abuse. It could just be... Nah. A little bit of knockabout fun. But get in touch with the show. hello@lukeandpeter.com, @lukeandpeter on the old Twitter. And you also get in touch on the Instagram as well, @lukeandpeter. We've got someone checking those wires, checking those lines.
Definitely. Always.
Smashing
and stuff. And I'll sign off with this by saying that I may have told you this story before, but very, very quickly, I was pushed over by a kid in my year. And I staggered backwards and fell over my backpack in front of loads of people.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing to me.
Emotional
hurt.
I was
about 13. So I jumped up without really thinking about it. And I threw a punch, the hardest punch I could throw at this kid. And I hit him flush on the cheek to the point where I think I might have broken my finger. My right little finger still moves weird now. And he just stood there.
Doing what?
And he was like, what are you going to do now? And I was like, oh, nothing. And he kicked me in. So...
Oh.
It does happen.
And you were 6'3" at that point. It's very strange.
At 13, I was quite tall, but I was skinny then. I was I started to get a bit fat about 21. Before that, I was pretty slim.
Yeah, pre-kick life.
I mean, if he's listening, come around. I'll punch you again, and we'll see what happens. I probably won't do that.
No,
because that'll be ridiculous. But what I'm trying to say is, he was harder than me then. He's probably still harder than me now.
Yeah.
So that kind of story, but maybe more interesting, would be good.
What have we learned? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We'll be
back.
To be honest,
I would have preferred to have got punched in the stomach by a dad.
Exactly. Yeah, no, definitely. At least he would have stopped with one, I imagine. We'll be back on Monday doing what we do, the best and the worst. But in the meantime, do get in touch and have a cracking weekend. See you later. Say goodbye, Lukey. Yeah.
It's crap and it's good, and that's kind of the beauty of it.
Exactly.
It's all mixed in together. Goodbye.
See you soon. Ta-ta.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.